Shalom, השיעור שלנו היום הוא
Hello, our lesson today is a special lesson. Rav Lightman will give it from India. We'll soon move to Rav. The first part will be questions and answers. Anyone who has a question is invited to put up his hand if he's here in the study hall or send it through our internet website, kab.tv, or put up the question mark in the groups all over the world or in Israel. We're moving to you, Rav Lightman, please.
So we're continuing our topic. There's none else besides him. It'll go according to your questions. What kind of... there's none else besides him you want us to engage in, whether we should read or what we went through yesterday, or maybe add more excerpts today that we prepared, and also questions from yesterday and from today and from all the groups. I'm willing to listen and I'll try to answer. So let's go. We are on the same topic, the most important topic, because it talks about the connection of the creator with the created beings. The creator made a preparation to bring us this connection. And we should try to reveal it by ourselves. Why should it be this way and not that we will be ready in advance to reveal the Creator? The thing is that there is something called yearning. To the extent that we create by ourselves our chisaron, our lack for revealing the Creator, by that we imagine it, we feel Him, we connect to Him, and accordingly we become like Him. Meaning, not only we not only know superficially that there is a higher force that created us, and one way or the other we can connect to it, but the connection to it is done not externally or superficially, like we can connect to one another in this world, person to person. Rather, connecting to the Creator has a specific nature, characteristic. We have to have the same nature, the same thoughts, the same desires, the same qualities as the Creator. And according to this, when we connect to Him, to that extent, we have to be like Him. And then our thoughts and desires, we don't hear them from Him, and who knows how we understand them. With the Creator, it doesn't work this way, that I hear it like in this world, like I can hear something from a friend in this world, and who knows if I understood what he said correctly. Did he convey exactly what he wanted to convey, etc.? With the Creator, it follows a law of equivalence of form, meaning that to the extent that I reveal my qualities as the qualities of the Creator, only then do I feel Him, understand Him, and what I see and hear according to my kelim, my vessels, something external like in this world, which is why none of us can know if he feels and understands something correctly or not. This is why we also can't compare our own feelings and our own understandings in this world, because we're not working according to the equivalence of form. But with the Creator, He has prepared for us a connection with Him in such a way that only to the extent that we acquire the same qualities and exactly the same force and relation and the same data, only then do we feel Him and discover Him and understand Him. And of course, in this there can be no mistakes. That's the difference between attainment in this world, which we picture in our senses without being identical with the topic itself. Whereas with the Creator, we have to achieve equivalence of form, dvikut, adhesion. So there's a problem here. We have to change our nature. And only when our nature is as the nature of the Creator do we attain Him. And this is why this attainment is true spiritual attainment. There are no doubts in it. And this is why it is eternal and governing. This is one of the manners of connection to there's none else besides Him. And there are others. We will get to it. There are other forms, special forms to connect to the Creator as opposed to connections among the created beings in this world. Also, what is good about this type of connecting according to equivalence of form is that we cannot lie to ourselves. We cannot mislead ourselves. What we feel is certain to be the Creator. The level of connection itself and what we perceive will be He Himself. Of course, according to the level, the measure of our kli, to the extent that our kli is ready for equivalence of form. But everything is determined according to the equivalence of the kelim, the vessels. Well, if there are questions, let's hear it. And if not, we'll just follow our excerpts and there's none else besides Him. Go ahead.
Right now I don't see any questions, so let's move on to the next excerpt. Our next excerpt is excerpt number 5 from the Introduction to the Book of Zohar on the Night of the Bride, 138. When we use the vessels of reception contrary to how they were created, we necessarily feel evil in the operations of providence in relation to us. It is a law that the created being cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator, for it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator for the created being to perceive Him as an evil doer, for this is unbecoming of the complete operator. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent. This is the greatest punishment in the world. Thus, the sensation of good and evil in relation to his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts not to part from faith in the Creator is rewarded even when he tastes a bad taste in providence. And if he does not exert, he will have a punishment because he is separated from faith in the Creator.
Basically, what we see from this is that it's relatively simple. If we lock ourselves on the upper source, from which we get all the senses, all the thoughts, desires, everything that goes through us comes from Him to such an extent that we feel ourselves only as receivers, and He as the source that is in us. In our entire kli, filling it to the brim and controlling it completely. If we need to come to a state where we, first of all, don't disturb the Creator, don't interfere with the Creator tending to us. By this, we come to a state called Chafetz Chesed, this desire and mercy, let's put it this way. Afterwards, we ourselves want to perform actions toward our congruence with the Creator. And then we begin to bring up, awaken, and reveal our own desire. a desire on our part. And moreover, the more our desire is opposite, opposing, disagreeing with the Creator, we suddenly discover that we have the evil inclination. That's after we've attained the level of equivalence in chasadim, where we are completely annulled before the Creator. We come to a state where we don't want to annul. I want to think differently. I want to do differently. And why is this way the right way? As if we're standing opposite from the Creator? Because it helps us see in everything where our oppositeness can be and where our dvikut can be above it. But that's already a more advanced stage in the work of the Creator. For now, the initial work is in making room, clearing room from all of our thoughts and desires for the governance of the Creator, meaning allowing Him to control in such a way that there is truly none else besides Him. This is stage one. So what is he telling us? Let's read it together. The excerpt. Excerpt number 5. Because when we use the vessels of reception contrary to how they were created, meaning in order to receive, we necessarily sense evil in the operations of providence in relation to us. If I'm in concealment, what does it mean, concealment? It means my desire is not like the desire of the Creator. And then it seems to me that what is in me is not according to my will. An opposite, different will in quantity, quality, in all kinds of directions, in all kinds of forces that are opposite. It is a law, so then we are in concealment. It is a law that the creature cannot receive disclosed evil from the Creator. He explains why. For it is a flaw in the glory of the Creator for the creature to perceive Him as an evil doer. The truth is, you could explain it differently. The fact that we are in an opposite desire from the Creator's, we feel Him as opposite. For it is unbecoming of the complete operator to show himself as seemingly doing harm. The Creator does not do harm. He's not an evil doer. Everything He does is for man's benefit. But because we are, and to the extent that we sympathize with our will to receive, there's a need to conceal the Creator from us. Why? It's a correction. Just imagine if you felt bad coming directly from the Creator. Now it comes from people, from all kinds of reasons, even from your own fault. But it's hard for us to point to the Creator as doing something bad because He made the concealment. And then, precisely thanks to the concealment, I remain seemingly connected to Him. Meaning the concealment doesn't allow me to actually connect and hold on to Him. But at the same time, I don't become separated. I don't hate Him. Because He is concealed as the source of every feeling and thought. Hence, when one feels bad, denial of the Creator's guidance lies upon him, and the superior operator is concealed from him to that same extent, meaning the bad feeling in itself immediately covers the operator and causes disconnection. Thus, the feeling of good and bad in his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. The reward is to feel the Creator, and the punishment is to stop feeling him. So, we are constantly in between them. Therefore, the sensation of good and evil in his guidance brings with it the sensation of reward and punishment. For one who exerts not to part from faith in the Creator, the sensation of the Creator, although he tastes bad in providence, is rewarded. So, here comes the question. What can I do? Work on my will to receive, even though I feel bad, and as a result of the bad, I am detached from the Creator, or it could be that even though I feel good in a corporeal sense right now, and therefore become detached from the Creator, if I, in those two cases, in revealing the bad, or in feeling good in corporeality, or in feeling bad in spirituality, if I exert not to part from the feeling that it comes to me from the Creator and I'm connected to Him, on top of all those forms that go through me, although I taste bad in providence, He is rewarded. And if He does not exert, He will be punished. He will suffer a punishment. What is the punishment? That He is separated from the Creator. So, here we have two things. It depends from what I become disconnected. Either I disconnect by feeling bad, or I disconnect by feeling good. Both things, I don't look at them as feeling good or bad. I look at them as being detached from my connection with the Creator. That He did everything to me, and through all of these exercises that He takes me through, He brings me the sensation of suffering or pleasure. He's playing with me as if He wants to disconnect me from Him. If I exert to attribute to Him these changes too, and say that even though I feel bad, or even though I feel good, all those feelings that come to me are not in order to disconnect me from the Creator, but on the contrary, they are in order to strengthen my connection with Him. Then it turns out that I use all those exercises correctly. Exercises I constantly receive from Him, and we call these exercises our lives. Questions.
Rav, what are these exercises? What exercises do we get from Him?
Exercises were constantly of constantly feeling good or bad, and the good feeling or bad feeling, both good in the sense that I feel what I feel in my senses. I feel pleasures. So that too disconnects me from the Creator. Or I feel bad in my senses, And that too disconnects me from the Creator. So how then do I try not to be disconnected? So I have to elevate myself, raise myself above the feelings, and try to be attached to the Creator, so that my connection with the Creator will be more important from any good or bad that I will go through. Next.
Moscow, please.
Здесь приводится впечатление от управления, которое воспринимается как зло.
We have here an impression from providence that is perceived, felt as bad. Is it bad that stems from the person or the attitude towards him? What is the meaning here?
Bad can be spiritual or corporeal. A bad feeling.
No, it's okay, we hear you now.
If I feel bad, the bad can be corporeal or spiritual. Corporeal can be anything that disconnects me from the Creator. Whatever I experience, bad or good, in my feelings, in my thoughts. But if it disconnects me from the Creator, then it doesn't matter how I feel it, as good or bad, meaning as pleasure or pain, suffering. I want to establish a different approach, different relation to Providence. Do I feel the Creator more? Do I have a greater necessity to be connected to Him or not? To that extent, this is how I check, according to this. Let's say I feel all kinds of forms, suffering. I'm happy with something that happens to me in life. But these things, specifically these things, keep me and sustain me and keep me connected to the Creator, then I'm on His side and not on the side of my feeling. And I thank Him for helping me not to be detached from Him, at least in this way. This is the punishment, which is, as he writes, the biggest punishment in reality, disconnection from Providence. But if I can be grateful, as it says, all my bones shall say, if I can be connected to the Creator, along with the bad feeling as good, and to such an extent that I will also feel that it's good, this is preferable. That's the difference between bestowing in order to bestow above all the troubles, where I might not even have a shirt, like the Hasid, the one who desires mercy, who lives in the woods. Or if I'm working in receiving in order to bestow, when all of one's kelim work in the opposite way. Go ahead. Gershon, please.
Rav, we talked about it, that the suffering and pleasure that come to the person is like an exercise of the Creator that disconnects him, and by that he needs to connect stronger to the Creator. But our beginning, initial point is that we are disconnected from the Creator. So what does it mean to be connected with the Creator? And how can we use these exercises in order to cleave unto Him, to adhere to Him?
I would say that the point where we scrutinize our connection to the Creator, our level of connection to the Creator, has to be, as we learn now, that there is none else besides Him, meaning everything I feel, it's easier in feeling than in the thoughts, because everything is clarified in the thoughts. So it's harder for us to scrutinize and clarify the thoughts. But feelings, that everything that happens to me in life, whatever they are, I take it through. I go through it in such a way that it doesn't matter what I feel, good or bad. Above it, I have a connection with the Creator, that it came from Him, and I try to constantly maintain the connection with Him. And the connection with Him has to be more important to me than any feeling, good or bad, that I may have in life. This is simple faith, simple, regular, popular faith. You can see it in many ways in people, regular people, that there's nothing else besides Him. You hear it from your granny. Doesn't matter from who. But we're saying that we have to come to a state that there is no good or bad, but rather it all comes from Him. And therefore, we have to attain the Creator not as doing good or bad, but as doing good absolutely, completely. And this is why we have to change ourselves. The whole difference between blind faith, that the regular folk have, and that we have, is that we want to attain the Creator as doing good, not as doing bad. That He operates us in feelings of good and bad, good and bad feelings, precisely so that we would exert and not part from providence on top of all the good or bad feelings. This forces me to correct myself, so I will not feel the Creator ever as doing anything bad in the world. This is how I check to what extent I'm attached and adhered to providence. This is why the revelation of the Creator, the upper force, is mandatory for us. Not in order to feel the upper world, but in order to not curse the Creator, let's put it this way. To the extent that a person feels bad in the world, in his life, whether he wants to or not, he's for sure cursing the Creator just by that. Every single moment, the minute I'm dissatisfied with anything, the smallest thing, it means I am already disagreeing with the Creator, meaning I'm cursing Him.
The
next question, Tzvika, please. Rav, how can I correct myself exactly?
Correcting myself means I'm included in the ten. I obtain the kli, the vessel, and to the extent that I'm included in the kli, once I have been included in the ten, being included in the ten means seemingly that you cross the barrier, the machsom, you're included. After you're included, you have to start connecting to them in a manner of partnership, where my kelim and their kelim begin to unite. It's like in technology, you have to break the resistance to the merging. It's like two metals that you weld together and heat them together until they become liquid. and then they mix and become one that's made of two. So here is our whole correction. We have to break all the barriers between us, all the partitions that exist in each of us, many partitions. Let's call them 613 or 620. And each one has his own. Until we, to some extent, at least in Ovyut Shoresh or in Galgal Ta'anayim of Ovyut Shoresh, the root of Yut, gradually, we become willing to mingle and merge and be included until he and I, there is no difference between us in the ten. And then with the whole world and the Creator. So the most important is a person's willingness to locate, to detect how he can open himself up to absorbing alien desires. Because precisely by having these foreign desires and demanding corrections for them and fillings for them while they are in me, by this I correct the Kli. Then, by this I become the Rosh, Israel, and these Kelim that I bring closer to me, they become like my body, etc.
You said that when we started the conversation, you said that everything depends on your level of annulment opposite the Creator. I don't know the Creator. So what kind of annulment opposite whom should I annul?
Before the ten. The ten is always depicted in you as a Kli, as a Kli in which you have to be annulled. There's nothing else. You think afterwards there will be no ten? There's always the ten. Havaya. You're always working with them.
But my problem is, I mean, what is this concept to annul? I've been hearing it for a long time, but what does it mean? What is this concept?
To annul means that there is nothing in me, there's no distance between you and them, the desires, the thoughts, everything. Is common. So much so that on one hand, you're always working to connect them, tend to them, nurture them, develop them, and fill them. This is the Kli that, from your perspective, is the Havaya, the Creator, the soul. And you have to constantly think how you fill them with the Creator. You are like Keter, and they are like the bottom nine, and you work with them. On the other hand, you work like the point of Malchut. You draw, you are the one who's deficient and not they, and what you see. So in this way, you work with them. In other words, the point of Keter is where you seemingly transfer to them. The point of Malchut is where you draw, where you work in drawing this light and passing it on to them. That's you. They are everyone, everything else. So your whole work is only to fill them. Only to fill them like little children.
So I need to work on my ego to cancel, revoke my ego. What am I supposed to do?
If you need to, of course, yes.
Truly to cancel my ego?
By this, you annul your ego. How can you tend to them if you remain in your ego?
So I should work above it, above the ego? Seemingly to relinquish it? I mean, the ego is there.
I can't hear what you're saying.
I can't cancel my ego. The ego is the ego. I mean, what am I supposed to do with it?
I get the earphone is gets disconnected for some reason. I can't hear anything.
Do you hear us now, Rav?
Yeah, now I can hear you.
Zvika was asking, but I cannot cancel my ego. The ego is the ego, so what am I supposed to do?
Well, that's what it's all about. How can I feel the Creator? I have to invert my will to receive in such a way that it becomes congruent with Him, and then I'll understand Him and feel Him. I can't receive Him in my kelim. My kelim are intended only to receive this world. Afterwards, we'll learn what is this image that we get, why it's called the imaginary world. We're not even here. It's all a game being played in us. We are seemingly in a reality that is not real. It exists in us. We live, get up, walk, work, live. If we even die, we have children. But all of it is not life. It's not alive. It's all my imagination. This is why it's called the imaginary world. But to feel spirituality, we have no choice. We have to prepare our kelim for it. Otherwise, we won't feel it. The Creator can do everything except for one thing. We cannot receive our independence from anyone. Only if we do it ourselves. You could say, He is Almighty. Why not? Why can't He do it? But that's the way it is.
The next question is from Salt Lake City. Salt Lake City, please.
Rob, good morning. It's clear of the different feelings that we receive from our desires. It's clear. The question I have, what is our general essence as a 10 towards the Creator? Again, what is our general essence as a 10 towards the Creator, please.
The minute you are built like a 10, to the smallest extent of congruence, of similarity between you and the Creator, when you come to a state in the connection between you, where on top of the remoteness between you, you will achieve some level of connection that is in congruence with the Creator, even the smallest extent, one part of 125 or even less. The tiniest bit, then you will immediately feel in the connection between you that you will achieve that the Creator is filling you, that He is present in you. Nefesh de nefesh de nefesh de asiyah. As we learn in the essay, the ascent of the prayer in the descent of the prayer. So these are levels of matching, of congruence. We have to understand that there's a matter of feeling the Creator, which is something else, different from the way we feel people in this world. In our world, I can't really say that I feel someone or understand someone, because I didn't build in me a kli where that person is in me. So I can say that I understand Him. But with the Creator, the attainment is according to the equivalence of form, which means that there has to be in me a desire, which is adapted, built in such a way that it gives me a sensation of the Creator. I have no words here.
The next question is from the internet. It's a question by a student from Afula. We see that the image of the external world, we see the external world becoming more and more ruined, destroyed. It's scary to open the newspaper even. So are the connection between us and our adhesion with the Creator, are they supposed to also change the external form of the world?
That's a good question. Indeed, the world is moving very quickly toward a point in which people will really be able to see what is the life that they are in. What can I say? You see each day that more and more disasters and problems are emerging. Mainly it's ecological problems in nature, problems in human society. The general problem that is happening here, both in nature and in human society, is that we can't do anything. If in the past it was clear that we have this and that problem and we have to deal with them, we have to cool ourselves, warm ourselves, we have to build maybe new laws in human societies, maybe we need to do some sort of revolution, do something with ourselves, with our world, with the connections between us. Today, everyone knows that we're in a crisis. Everyone knows that what we're feeling is true and correct, that we are going down the drain, and we can't do anything at the same time. I would say that it's never been this way. Always, through all the stages of the development of human society, we were seemingly, we felt that we had the strength to do something, to change something. It's a wonder what is happening today. That we are, now that we are so strong in understanding, and we feel that we have so many powers, we have technology and everything, and we're totally helpless. Look what economists are writing, educators, doctors, everyone's in a state of helplessness in general. This is why it seems to me like it's a very good situation. It's a sign that indicates that we have no one to turn to except to the Creator. There's no one else to turn to rely on. And this is where people are. There's this spirit in the world that nothing good can come from us anymore. That's why the sensation of helplessness is increasing, and it must increase, and we need to provide answers to it. It is a sign, the sign that we're getting from the Creator today should bring us to a state where the more helpless we feel that we are, the faster we will be able to understand the truth. That everything was given only so that we agree with providence. Yes, please.
The next question is from Jerusalem. Jerusalem, go ahead. Good morning, Rav. Well, first of all, I want to announce that today in Jerusalem we have connection. We were privileged with hosting a tent from Petah Tikva. And from here comes the question. Rav, what is this act of subjugation, submission?
We're not speaking of all kinds of submissions that you have to things like you can say that you are submitting yourself or your ego. The act of submission or subjugation is when you are willing to do everything in order not to part from the sensation in the organs, from the understanding in the mind that the Creator is constantly present as preceding my thoughts and my actions. I want to come to a state called all my bones will say, that He is present in all my bones and He is running me and moving my mind and heart in general, in everything that I can even imagine. So, this is what I have to aspire to. Yes, please.
Next question from Naharia. Good morning. I cannot correct myself. I need to ask for correction, to pray.
I can't really ask for correction and pray if I am still certain that I can do something myself. We also learned about it. That there's none so wise as the experienced. And only when a person gives up, is he ready for the real prayer, on one hand. On the other hand, I have to go through all the opportunities I have until I give up on all of them and see what comes out of it. And then I get wise and smart, and then I am despaired enough until so that I can ask the Creator. Is this how it works? They say no. Rather, I can trust others. I can choose the most applicable acts in acts of implementing providence, and when I become attached to them, then I can activate myself correctly toward the Creator. But in the end, it's summarized, it's summed up in the request when I pray and ask and beg that I will receive some sort of help. Only this saves me. A prisoner does not free himself from imprisonment. Also, with regard to the friends who brings him out of there, and also with regard to the Creator who brings him out from there.
The next question from here, Akoka. We were talking yesterday and also today, you've been repeating a lot the fact that we have to reach Hitkalilut, integration. So how is the integration related to equivalence of form?
Rav, לא שומעים אותך, תלמוד.
Rav, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
מה הקשר בין התקללות לישראל? What is the connection between התקללות, the mingling and equivalence of form? התקללות. התקללות is still not equivalence of form. There is a potential itkalut and actual itkalut in practice. There's itkalut in actions, in thoughts. There's itkalut in congruence. There are many. When we talk, we're talking about itkalut that I do with the group, and to what extent we're included in each other and begin to feel that we are going in the same direction of the thought. That's the beginning of the Hitkalelut. Let's call it Hitkalelut zero. Zero level. Like ground level. But then we have to work on it. Hitkalelut is when more and more of the will to receive emerges, and I feel how much I don't want it, and I resist it, and I can't, and I'm not even into it. I don't want it. Not with the friends, not with the Creator. I check it and see how much I don't want to mingle and merge with the friends. To that extent, but 600 times more, I don't want to merge with the Creator. I have to believe that this is so because I still don't feel it. But in any case, the lack of itkalelut with the friends directs me correctly. That's it. So, how do I check it? By constantly feeling how my will to receive grows and doesn't let me think of others, not even for a minute. Even more than that, I curse them. I don't want them. They bother me. I want to feel alone, completely, not belonging to anyone. And here, when the desires and intentions surface that oppose connection, to that extent, I can measure what is happening to me. To that extent, according to this, I can divide my egoistic will to receive into 620 times and see to what extent I am or am not included in them, how much by being included with them I make room for the Creator to clothe in my hitkalalut with the environment. That's all of our work, our practical work.
So, how do we carry out Hitkalelut? Because yesterday, throughout the day, we talked a lot in the 10 about the need, the necessity to integrate. What does it practically mean to integrate?
To integrate or become included means you feel on top of all the disturbances, connection. We don't really understand that in our world because we don't have three lines. We don't have a situation where you're against, and on the other hand, you forcefully and forcibly act in favor and you connect both of them to the upper source, to the Creator. We don't have that. But we have to at least feel what is unique about spirituality. Because until I connect to another person for the first time, I don't know what is connection. Afterwards, in this connection with the other that I built, all kinds of disturbances begin to enter in there. And I'm willing to continue with them. As long as it takes. And on top of it, I measure my levels of itkalelut. Meaning, if I didn't have the left line, I wouldn't be able to measure the level of itkalelut. But I measure it precisely between the left and the right. And the middle line is what determines.
So how do you shift from a state where you have your own kli to a state where you begin to act out of the common, the shared kelim?
That's a correct question. Correct question. A need to lose himself because he has no choice. Lose himself in others. Because only in this way into why emerge to unite with the Creator. My Hitkalelut with the environment stands between me and the Creator. It is the Kli, it is my Kli, it is my ability to emerge from myself. There's nothing you can do. Next.
The next question is from Australia. Australia and Asia, please.
Rav, good morning. I don't know how, but you basically described all the states that lately, I mean, personally, I'm going through. So I still don't understand what's my attitude towards those feelings that I feel, like hatred. Like sometimes it goes up to this. And how can I, you know, rise above it and feel that all comes from him and he's good, that does good. Because 2 moments ago, I was amazingly fine, you know, everything was great. But then all of a sudden, like something dropped on me. What's the approach? Thank you.
כמו חיים שלנו מתחלקים ל
just as our lives divide into numerous specific situations, just like you have to breathe all the time, just like you have materials that change and interchange. Life is a sequence of infinite repetitive operations which repeat themselves each day. That's why I can't say anything new, but only time and time again to bring myself back to connection. Constantly. A little more and a little more and a little more. But to nothing else but connection. Because in connection, what happens is that you have kind of an ingathering of all the forces that oppose the Creator. This is how He created it. That's why He broke the Kli. Because in the way that you go toward connecting His parts, that's how you attain Him. You don't connect one to the other and then the two of them become connected. The connection itself, the stitch that you build, is actually the quality of the Creator that you attain. From the perspective of the created being, that's how He attains the Creator. This is why you shouldn't despair with the day-to-day work. It has to continue this way. And if I end my life with this, or yes or no, I don't ask. I understand beginners. They want to achieve and win, and when will it happen? But in truth, a genuine worker does not ask when will it end. He just continues every day anew. And precisely by this, the Kli is built. And Hitkalelut. Hitkalelut with the environment, not give up on that. It can come after many years. So what? That's the work. It's a sign you have a deep soul, heavy. What can you do? He who is greater than his friend, his desire is greater than him. So, what should I be? If I'm great, my evil inclination is great, and accordingly I need to work. Or the other way around. Each one must accept what he has. And the minute a person surrenders and understands that he has to only perform the act of connection, then everything gets easier. Let's go. You want to switch? Change the topic?
We have a few more questions. Kiev, please.
Здравствуйте, дорогой Раф. Вот мы говорили о том,
что действуя
из общих килим, из соединения в десятке.
We talked about that when we operate out of the collective kelim.
Вот как или на
We feel the friends and we stop feeling ourselves.
Там, что нет никого кроме него.
So at what point can I feel that there is none else besides him? There is none else besides the Creator.
You will feel it according to your kli. How can it be otherwise? Like Rabash writes, and then I feel dvikut with the friends, and then I dance, and the distance doesn't create any changes, and then I begin to feel that there is nothing in the world but only the friends, etc. These are all the forms that we have to attain. And then also, not the friends, but one block, one body, and then there the upper light is revealed. No, I don't know what else to continue. From all the connections and thousands of changes that you have in you, in the group, and the more you scrutinize things, the more you will be satisfied later with all of these discernments, the negative discernments that will increase. Out of this, a richer kli, a deeper kli is born. And to that extent, you reveal the Creator.
Can we move on to the next excerpt from There Is None Else Besides Him, excerpt number 6. Bala Sulam says in Shamari 1, one must always try to adhere to the Creator, namely that all his thoughts will be about him. That is to say, even if he is in the worst state, from which there cannot be a greater decline, he should not leave his domain. Namely, that there is another authority that prevents him from entering Kedusha, holiness, that can benefit or harm. That is, he must not think that there is the force of the Sitra Acha, the other side, that does not let the person do good deeds and walk in the ways of the Creator. Rather, all is done by the Creator. The Baal Shem Tov said that he who says that there is another force in the world, namely klipot, shells, this person is in the state of serving other gods. It is not necessarily the thought of heresy that is the transgression, but rather, if he thinks that there is another authority and force apart from the Creator, he is committing a transgression. Furthermore, one who says that man has his own authority, that is, he says that yesterday he himself did not want to follow the Creator's way, this, too, is considered committing the transgression of heresy, meaning he does not believe that only the Creator is the leader of the world.
Would like to crash off? Maybe you should read it again.
One must try to always adhere to the Creator. Namely, that all his thoughts will be about him. That is to say, even if he is in the worst state, from which there cannot be a greater decline, he should not leave his domain. Namely, that there is another authority that prevents him from entering the Kedusha, that can benefit or harm. That is, he must not think that there is a force of the Sitra Achra that does not let a person do good deeds and walk in the ways of the Creator. Rather, all is done by the Creator. The Baal Shem Tov said that he who says that there is another force in the world, namely klipot, that person is in a state of serving other gods. It is not necessarily the thought of heresy that is the transgression, but rather, if he thinks that there is another authority and force apart from the Creator, He is committing a transgression. Furthermore, one who says that man has his own authority, that is, he says that yesterday he himself did not want to follow the Creator's way, this too is considered committing the transgression of heresy, meaning he does not believe that only the Creator is the leader of the world.
Questions?
Moscow, please. Moscow.
Доброе утро, Раф.
Good morning, Raf. Every morning lesson you give us a description of the process of adhesion with the Creator through the adhesion with the Ten, and you give it in a fragmented manner. And since until the Moldova Congress we have 2 weeks left, and you personally gave us a task for us to turn into one Kli even before the Congress, the question is, can we describe it in terms of the process of adhesion with the Ten, not in a fragmented manner, but on a continuous manner, from beginning to end? Let's say everything begins from annulment and subjugation, then hit Kalilut, and then some sort of dissolving. Can we talk about the full process of adhesion, stage after stage? Thank you.
I don't think you can really picture it, depict it, because it's an emotional manner thing, and we're not really in the, and we're not in degrees yet, where we can talk about the Ovut and Kashut, the thickness and hardness of the Masach. We don't have the light of Chassadim yet. So, by fragmented, or I mean that every moment something else surfaces and the situations change. That's why we have to renew them every single moment, more and more so. But most important, we have to be happy every moment that we are renewing the connection, the contact. The Creator disconnects and we reconnect. He disconnects and we reconnect. By this, we bring him pleasure. It's as if he rejects us and we get closer. He rejects us and we move closer. And likewise, every time, more and more so. These are the stages of attainment for now. Afterwards, they will be more, they will be clearer. Meaning, we we have no other work, only to renew the connection with the Creator on top of all the disturbances. That there's none else besides Him, everything is from Him, through the friends, there I discover Him, there I give Him room on top of all the disturbances, as much as possible, in the connection between us, to be in the connection between us, to such an extent that the connection between us can be the network where it can be revealed. That's it. Another question?
Right now, there are no more questions. We can move on to the next excerpt, number 7. Is that okay, Rav?
Yes, things are moving in such a way that we already spoke a lot about it. And in 2 weeks we'll have a Congress, and there we will try to get into it deeper and in greater detail.
Okay, before the next excerpt, we have another question from here, from Petah Tikva, Amit. In that quote we read, it says that a person should try to always walk in the way that he is adhered, and the Zohar always also says that a person should exert, should make an effort, and if he does not succeed in exerting, he will be punished. What does it truly mean to exert, to try?
The punishment is the disconnection from the Creator. And the mitzvah, the commandment or good deed, is to connect among us and grasp the Creator who is revealed between us, to make efforts toward that in order to please Him and be ready and willing that even if the Creator is revealed, it's all from us outwards toward Him and nothing towards us. Just like right now, we all have the feeling and intention then, oh, let him be revealed already. Let him be revealed. Why does he, what does he care? Why shouldn't he be revealed already? We have to understand that, what is this? This is how I demand him for myself. The revelation of the Creator should also be in order to bestow. Otherwise, my whole work is, it will become a klipa, a shell. So, we need to think more here. But it'll fall into place. Even if a person doesn't know and doesn't think and doesn't understand, the effort itself, when he is with thousands of other people, it helps a lot. Yes, please.
How is the effort determined? What determines a person's effort, if it will be beneficial or not?
Beneficial or not, depends on his work. The way it is beneficial or not depends on the point in the heart, the root of the soul. Why?
Because there is always a feeling that I'm not exerting enough, no matter what you do.
Not exerting enough, does it stem from him wanting to feel quickly, receive quickly?
Not because I actually feel that I have no forces, no abilities, that I'm missing out on opportunities.
It's all clarified in the group. I can't tell you. We're talking about something that maybe you mean something else. You're referring to something else than I am. You understand? The whole problem is that we have to build a kli, the temple. What is the temple? It's the kli, the ten, that can contain within it the upper light to the extent of bestowal that is in it. That's it. So we have to exert only in this direction. Maybe we're lying to ourselves and we're actually aiming for something else. So why? I don't have a choice. Maybe I really am aiming for something else, but because I don't have a choice. So, and I hope that out of this, the correction will come. This is actually called the mitzvah, the good deed. The mitzvah means I want to correct. Part of my work that is called mitzvah is that I raise man for correction. Next.
Rav, with your permission, would like to sing a song and move on to the next part of the lesson.
שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולק ואין נרו שלו כנר חברו צריך שכל איש יבין שעליו לעמול ולגלות את אור הנר ברבים להאיר לבבות רק ניצוץ לא ידליק את אור האהבה אבל יחד יהיה לכם קומה של קדושה רק בינינו נדליק את אור האהבה משלבת גדולה שכל איש ידע שבו יש נר שדולם ונרו שלו כנר חבר